morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I ask you to go ahead and just open your Bibles back up to 1 Peter chapter 2. That's where we're going to be spending all of our time this morning. The title of the lesson is called Be Holy. And I'll be honest with you, this lesson kind of has a personal story that goes behind it. I was working at a job that I didn't really enjoy. I've been there for a long time. I was doing a lot of factory work. I had met an individual a couple of weeks before who had invited me to go to Bear Valley and to check out the school there. He was a recruiter. I had decided that that was what I wanted to do with my life, not to be a preacher, but I didn't feel I knew enough about Scripture, and I felt that I had drifted away from the Lord quite a bit. And I wanted to get back closer to Him. I was on the dock one night. I had already turned in my resignation. Several crews of us loading several different trucks. One of the men that I had worked with for several years, known basically the entire time I had been with the company, asked me what I was going to be doing, and I told him that I was going to school to be a preacher. He said, "Really?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "I didn't know. I didn't know that you were a churchgoer." And I said, "Really?" I said, "That doesn't bode well for me now, does it? If I said that I'm a Christian and I lived as a Christian and walked as a Christian, it should be evident." He said, "Well, I knew there was something different about you when everybody else was telling foul jokes and using foul language, you didn't join in, but I just didn't know that you were a churchgoer." Come to find out, he had actually been raised, if you can call it that. His grandmother used to take him to the very same congregation that I attended years before. Knew the same preacher that we had. Everything else. Now, it goes both ways. The fact that he did notice there were some things about me that were not like the rest of the world made me feel good. But the fact that he couldn't say, "You are a Christian," made me feel very, very bad. By my life and my conduct, apparently I wasn't exemplifying, at least to maximum potential, the fact that I was a Christian in the world around me. So when we start looking at 2 Peter chapter 2 and we start thinking about being called to be holy, it's not just being holy in our private life. We're not called to be holy in our private life. We're called to be holy in everything that we do. And we probably need to understand a little bit about what holiness is. When we look in Scripture and when we talk about being holy, the way it is most often described to us and defined is we are set apart. If you ask most Christians what it means to be holy, well, you're set apart. Okay, but what does that mean? What does it mean to be set apart? It means to be different. You're not part of the crowd. Now, that is diametrically opposed to the way we want to be, right? Most all of us want to fit in with the group. Most all of us want to feel like we're part of something. We are social creatures. We were created as social creatures. We don't want to be excluded. We want to be included. And when you get into the world today, especially, we see an awful lot of people pushing for that all-inclusive nature. But we're Christians. We're supposed to be holy, set apart. That means that we're excluded on some things. Another word that is used to describe it, as a matter of fact, the word that is translated in the Greek holy shares the same commonality and the same root as sanctified. Holy means sanctified. It's from this that we get also the word saint. We're supposed to be saints. We're different. We're washed, we're cleansed, we're set apart. Another word that is often used to describe holy, and rightly so, is sacred. Something that is sacred. In the Old Testament, 1 Chronicles chapter 22 and verse 19, we have discussion of the holy, sacred, sanctified articles that were used in temple service. Those things that were in the holy place and in the holy of holies. 2 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 5 itself. Again, goes back and makes reference to the holy utensils that are used in serving God. And I'm not focused on the utensils so much themselves as that term holy. These were not common things. They were sacred objects that God had sanctified and set apart, and they were for use and service for Him and Him only. As a matter of fact, those first two verses that I just shared with you were only used or used in connection with those things that were in the temple, but not the Ark of the Covenant itself. That is actually called holy in 2 Chronicles chapter 35 and verse 3. The Ark is holy. The golden lampstand is holy. The altar of incense is holy. All of those tools that were used in service in the temple are considered holy. Well, what does it mean to be holy? It means that it's not to be treated as anything common. It's for God's purpose and God's use and God's designation only. Remember, God has some very specific opinions about those things. Remember Uzzah that reached up and touched the ark? That holy object and was struck dead? God does not take kindly to the treating as common something He has deemed as holy. To be holy is different from everything else. It's not common. So now we move into the text, understanding a little bit about that word holy, and we're called to be holy. We're called to be holy, not just in our personal lives, but in everything that we do. As we go throughout the world at large, people should notice a difference about us. Look at verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. I want you to notice some things here. We're going to go through it step by step by step. But I want you to notice the exclusionary language. And I'm sorry, I may offend some people today. But I'm going with exactly what the Bible says and trying to teach the Bible precepts. There's some exclusionary language in this. I know it goes against common thought, modern politics. You know, back in my day, you had Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts. The boys went to the Boy Scouts, the girls went to Girl Scouts. Guys didn't go to the Girl Scouts. Girls didn't join the Boy Scouts. We were excluded. Okay? When it came to boys' sports and girls' sports, all that stuff. We live in a world, though, that's trying to push on us something that is not necessarily biblical. You can't exclude people. After all, the gospel is for everybody. Yes, it is. But it's a very exclusive people. We're different. Notice, he says, you are a chosen race. Of all the people that God could have chose in the Old Testament, he settles on one individual by the name of Abraham. When he chose Abraham and said, I'm going to make of you a great nation, did he exclude all those other individuals that were alive in that day? Or did he say, no, Abraham, I'm going to make of you a great nation. And over here, Fred, we have no record of Fred. And God saying that to Fred, all we have is the record of Abraham. But Fred, Abraham, I'm going to make a wonderful example of. And my people are going to come through him. But you know what? My people are going to come through you too. You and Abraham are in the same crew. And George, you and Fred and Abraham, you're all... No. He said, Abraham. And when he did that, he excluded Fred and George. It actually operates under something we don't talk about very much, but there is called the law of exclusions. Okay? There is a law of exclusions. How many of you are going to go to a restaurant this afternoon and you're going to order a meal? If I go into a restaurant this afternoon after church is over and I go in and I order a meal and I say, maybe I'm ordering a burger. And I tell them, I want mustard and pickles and tomatoes on my burger. And my burger comes out, and it's got mustard, and mayo, and ketchup, and onions, and pickles, and lettuce, and tomatoes. And did they give me what I asked for? No, because I said I wanted mustard, onions, and pickles. I excluded everything else by saying that. Did I have to tell them I didn't want cheese on it? No, because I ordered a hamburger, not a cheeseburger. I excluded it. God says you are a chosen people. You're different. Not everyone is chosen. Everyone is called, but not everyone answers the call. You are a royal priesthood. This harkens back to the Levitical priesthood. Were all the Israelites priests? Or were the priests only from the tribe of Levi? And those who could serve as high priests, not only did they have to be from the tribe of Levi, but they had to be descendants of Aaron. You know, Aaron had descendants... Or Levi had descendants There were individuals who were sons of Levi that didn't come from Aaron's descent, so they could not serve as priests. Not the high priest. Some people were excluded. No, we are a royal priesthood. We're excluded from other people. Remember, Peter is talking to the church, those who would be biblical Christians. You're holy, a holy nation. How many nations were in existence during the time of the patriarchs, during the time of Moses, during the time of Israel? I mean, we have other nations that God rises up against Israel to judge them. You are a holy nation, not them, you. That is very exclusionary. You are set apart, you're sanctified, you're sacred to God. You are an acquired possession. I love the King James when it comes to this reading. The King James uses the term, you are a peculiar people. Now, I'm sure that was changed because we got this idea about what peculiar means. I know some individuals that are kind of peculiar, you know. They're not like everybody else. They don't think the way that everybody else does. They don't act the way that everybody else. Well, really, that's the emphasis of this. We are a peculiar people. The word means acquired possession. Something that is valuable. It has that weight in it, in its base meaning of being something so special. It's unique. And you acquire it. It's different from everything else. What makes a four-leaf clover different than anything else and so special? Well, it's the fact that it has four leaves. That's a rarity. Generally, you only see clover with three leaves. Man, what you wouldn't do for a four-leaf clover sometimes, right? What makes certain art valuable? It's unique. Nobody else has done it. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. People collect things like that. They spend their lifetime pursuing things so they can have it in their possession and they can enjoy it. We are a peculiar people. Not like everyone else. We're not supposed to be. We look at verse 10. We see a transition to something different as a Christian. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you were a people, just like everybody else. But there's a transition. Now you are a people of God. Now you got a name that can be associated with you. Now you've got a group to belong to. You're not like everybody else. You are a people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So we see a transition to something different. Not a people, to a people of God. Not or without mercy, to having received mercy. That sets us apart, doesn't it? That makes us different, doesn't it? It's not that no one else can join this exclusive group. They can, but they have to do it the right way. The call is given to all, but not everybody received that invitation. Verse 11. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. Aliens and strangers? What is an alien or a stranger? It's somebody who lives in a world that's not theirs. They don't belong. One of my favorite songs, and we sing it in the church, I love to hear it. This world is not my home. This is not my home. I love Texas. My family came from Texas. Texas to me is probably as close as you can get to home. I spent 35 years in Colorado. My family is still in Colorado, my immediate family, my mom, my dad, my sisters, and their family are still in Colorado. That comes close to being home. Texas is still home. I lived in Arkansas. Arkansas wasn't home. I moved to Tennessee. Tennessee has a homey feel. I love being here in Tennessee, but Tennessee is not my home. As a Christian, this world is not my home. I look to be able to go home someday. I'm an alien. I'm a stranger. I am not of this world. As a Christian, that's the way we live. Because of this, we are to act differently than the world. Somebody does us wrong, what's our natural reaction? Somebody pushes us, we push back. Somebody hits us, we slug back. How often are we counseled? Somebody does something to us, you should react in like manner, only with greater force. They act ungodly towards us. What are we supposed to do? Lower ourselves to their standards and act the same way. Let them know who they're dealing with. That is worldly thinking. When Jesus was mocked, when he was spit on, when he was struck, what did he do? He acted differently, didn't he? When he was nailed to a cross, did he cry out and revile all those around him? Did he call down the 12 legion of angels that he had at his disposal? Or did he act differently? Did he lash out? Strike them all down? Did he act differently? That's something to think about when you're driving down the road and somebody cuts you off in traffic, isn't it? We used to have them rubber bands and stuff, WWJD. What would Jesus do? Well, bless you. Stay safe. No, what you did was wrong, but I don't have to react to you in the same way. Why? Because I'm a Christian. I'm different. I'm supposed to be. I'm called to be holy and to act differently than the world around us. Verse 12. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles so that in the thing which they slander you as evildoers. Let them do the slandering.
Let them do the maligning. Let them call us evil. But by our response, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. By our response, it's like, man, you reacted in such a godly manner. I'm ashamed of myself for what I did. As children of God, we are not to be like everyone else. We are different. We are different. Does anybody here believe that that is a command from God? Wednesday night, we were supposed to be moving into commands. We didn't get into the imperative statements and everything else. Lord willing, we'll get into it this coming Wednesday. When we have a direct statement or a direct command, an imperative statement, it's something that comes from God and we should apply it. I want you to back up in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter has already kicked all of this off. I want you to look at verse 13. And as we read through this, I want you to ask yourself, is this a command of God that I be different? Not for the sake of being different, but for the sake of being holy and godly. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in ignorance. Who's he talking to? He's talking to Christians. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts. You put those things off when you became a Christian. You're an obedient child of who? Of God. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior. Not in some of it, not in private only, but in everything you do. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Who said those words? Father did. As obedient children to the Father, as true Christians according to the biblical standard, we are to be holy because God is holy. When people look at us, when they hear us, when they're in our presence, they should know that we are different from the world. We conduct ourselves differently. We think differently. We react differently. We speak differently. And we serve differently. We are called to be holy. We're going to offer an invitation at this time. If it is appropriate for you at this time to put on Christ in baptism because you have never done so, you're a Christian who strayed from the word of truth, and you haven't been living holy as you ought, you have the opportunity this morning. We invite you to come forward as together we stand and sing.